Amen. All right, so go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. We left off at verse 4. We're going to be talking about the gifts and a few gifts here. You know, Paul mentions seven gifts in this chapter, but he mentions specific gifts. But some of us, I think all of us, have these gifts. We just have a degree of how we use them. And there's many other gifts that the Bible talks about in different chapters, in different books in the Bible. So just because he mentioned seven doesn't mean that that's not all the gifts. There's plenty of gifts. We all have gifts. Every one of us have gifts. And we're to use those gifts for the glory of God, and especially when they're the spiritual gifts that he gives us. So Romans chapter 12, let's look at verse 4. Was where we left off, and let's we're going to read to verse 8, and then we'll get into it. Let's look at verse 4. He said, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, then let us use it to our ministering. And he who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Father, we do pray as we look to your word that you would bless it. You will multiply to us. I pray for healing in our hearts, Lord, that the word of God would just, as we hear it, it will be embedded within our hearts, Lord, that we can know what you require of us. So, Lord, as we look to the word of God, Lord, again, bless it, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm getting that scratchy throat again. It's funny, it only happens when, you know, a lot of times when I get up here, which I can understand why. Out there, I'll be fine. But when I get up here, it's going to act up. But anyway, so again, as we get into the gifts that Paul mentioned here in verse 4 through 8, you know, he speaks to us on how these gifts are mentioned and how they're used in the body of Christ and within the church. Now, I believe, first of all, we got to keep in mind Paul's warning about how we use these gifts. Now, if you quickly look at verse 3, you'll understand what I mean. Because in verse 3, Paul says this. He says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So I believe that when it comes to spiritual gifts, when it comes to their function within our lives, Paul says, you know what? Don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think, but you better use them soberly. Because, you know, it's very easy for someone who's gifted with spiritual gifts to become very prideful, and you end up exalting yourself instead of the body of Christ, instead of others, which that's the purpose of them. Our gifts are supposed to be used to bring glory to who? God, right? And for the worship of God, not to bring glory to ourselves. Now, I always hear, "Hey, you know, you're a good teacher, or you're this," and I'm like, yeah, who paid you to say that, you know? And I don't want to get puffed up. I don't want to start going like this when someone says, "Hey, great job," or because the Lord showed me this. If you come up to me and say, "Hey, that was a great service," or "That was a good word," I'm going to ask you which part. Therefore, you're going to have to share what spoke to you. So be ready. So if you come up to me and say, "Hey, that was great, Pastor," I'm going to say, "Well, okay, which part was great about it?" Because you know how sometimes we hear the word of God, you leave, you forget what it was about. And a lot of times you remember the stories or the jokes. Those are the easy parts, you know, to remember. But the gifts, we have to be very careful. Now, would you agree with me that as a believer, we need to work on our humility that's in our lives? Would you guys agree with that? Right? As a Christian, especially in leadership, we have to work on that humility. We need that. It's very important because a lot of times we have the tendency within ourselves to think of ourselves more highly than others. especially when it comes to spiritual gifts within our lives. Because, you know, we can become conceited, we can become prideful, we can even become arrogant, we can become puffed up within our own abilities. Look at my abilities, you know, and or even our looks. Thank God I don't have to worry about that, right? Our popularity, you know, hey, that's the popular one. Remember in high school, ladies, you know, you always hung out. You try to hang out with the popular kids. One time I was like that, you know, and now that I grow up and become a Christian, it's like, that popularity goes away, you know. Had people that would hang out with me, and now they're just like trying to get away from me, you know. But, you know, we get caught up in that. You know, we can get caught up in our possessions, even what we have, our performances, our position in life. How about our opinions? You know, our opinions, I love opinions, but, you know, when they're have the right motive, you can have the right motive, but you can also have the wrong attitude. Or how about our education? I think that's a big one, education. We need education. I really believe that knowledge is power. But I didn't have an education. I got kicked out of 12th grade, and right at that last quarter, I got kicked out. So I just didn't want to learn. Again, remember I tell you guys, if I had a D, that was an A for me. If I got a D, boom, I passed. Now I can just do whatever I want. So I didn't have an edumacation. They used to call me Jeffro Boldina of the ministry, you know. They still do. I remember a brother, he was very much into education. That was his main thing. And the problem was, education is good, and especially when it comes to the Word of God and teaching. But he had it up here. He did not have it out here, down in here, which I think that's where we need it the most, because that's where Jesus lives, within the heart. And I remember he came up to me one time and said, you know, this is how I see us. Me and the pastor before me and myself, and he came up to me and said, Pastor Steve, this is how I see us three guys. He says, I see myself preaching to the rich. I see the other brother preaching to the middle class. And Pastor Steve, I see you teaching to the poor. And I thought, right on. That's where Jesus would be. I mean, it's the rich that denied him. It was the rich that didn't want to receive him. It was the poor that received him with gladness. So I was kind of excited about that. I said, yeah, all right, I agree with you, amen. And then later on he came back to me and says, you know what, Pastor Steve? He says, pray for me. Pray that I can get all this that's up in here down into here like you. And I said, I will. And you pray that I got all this I have in here, I can get it up in here as well. And so this is what we did. We started praying for one another. And so it's very important we have to be careful. Or how about our good works? Look what I done. We can get caught up in good works with the gifts that we have. Talking about how good I'm doing or what I did. And it just depends on your attitude of the whole thing. Or even our titles. One thing I don't like is titles. Now, I don't go around saying I'm the senior pastor. I don't even say I'm the head pastor. I always say I'm one of the pastors here at the church, unless I have to say head pastor. I don't like senior pastor, even though I'm a senior. The only time I use senior is when I'm at Denny's. Then I acknowledge that I'm a senior because it's cheaper and, you know, it's just the discount. Senior, I get the senior menu. But when it comes to things of God, I'm just one of the pastors here. But you can get caught up in your titles. I don't like to be titled. If you want a title, then you better do the work of that title. Otherwise, you're just walking around with a title, and titles are no good. And so Paul says we have to be careful. Don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think when it comes to the gifts that God has given you. Now in verse 3, he talks about how we have to be soberly. We have to use them soberly. Now this word soberly, it means you have to have balance in your life. It means you have to be sane in one's right mind, especially when it comes to the spiritual gifts that we have. And so I think Paul, you know, when he shares this, he's exhorting, his exhortation is that we think of ourselves as what? As being wise and accurately making a sane and well-balanced when it comes to our person, our character, our lifestyle, and our abilities. You got to be very careful because you don't want to think yourself more highly than others. You want to make sure also that the gifts that you have are not, you're not walking around thinking my gift is more important than your gift. That's what they call insane behavior. And that's why he says you got to think soberly. Because if you're going around thinking my gift is better than you, I have gifts. How many gifts do you have? Are you a person that goes around, hey, how many gifts do you have? A half a gift? Oh, I got one, two, three, four, you know. That's insane behavior. Because you know why? Every person is important to God. You agree with that? Every gift, every person, they're meaningful and significant to the work of God. And the whole purpose is to build the kingdom of God, no matter who the person is. God can use a donkey. And obviously he can because he's using me. Now, I've used donkey, but I used the King James version of it. And I'm not going to use it now because I got in trouble for using it. I didn't think about it, but this is the Bible, the King James. And you can look it up yourself. I won't say it. But if God can use a donkey, it doesn't matter who the person is. Now, I've always been taught in Calvary Chapel, the pastors, we've been taught by Chuck Smith. He said this, and it's really good wisdom. He said that you should never overestimate the spirituality of your people. Those who you consider spiritual giants, those who are gifted, especially with the teaching of the Word of God, those who are seen, you look at them and you see them as godly men and godly women, sometimes those are the ones who can hurt you the most. They can damage your faith if you let them, because they get caught up in their spiritual gifts and they can try to bring that glory. And then when they're constantly, I think of the spiritual giants that we listen to, these great men who've been preaching the gospel for 40, 30, 50 years. And we love to listen to them. And sometimes we can put them on pedestals, you know. And then when they do something wrong, then there's this great big dive in our life and it affects our faith. So we have to be careful, because remember this, guys, spiritual gifts require spiritual maturity. Okay? You hear that? You got spiritual gifts, but you better have spiritual maturity, because sometimes those who have spiritual gifts, they don't have the maturity to use them properly and or the way they should be used. It's like having a lot of knowledge. You know, we have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't have the wisdom to apply the knowledge, what good is the knowledge that you have? There's a neat story, and I'm going to see if I can get it right. This brother, you know, he had some gifts, and he was always promoting his gifts, and he was always sharing others how great his gift was. Look what I did, and look how many people I touched, and look how many lives I've changed. He was an eye person. One day he died, and he was standing before God, and he said, God, he says, my life down there was great. I want to share everything that I did for you. I want to share the greatness that I did and all the people's lives that I've changed and people that I help. And so I'm going to need a lot of people because I want to share this. Can you arrange that? Can you have people, you know, people come and sit, because I want to share how the great things that I did. And God said, that's no problem. I can do that. He says, great. Who are you going to invite? He says, well, I'll invite Moses. I'll invite Noah. I'll invite Peter, Paul, you know, and Jesus will be there. I know I didn't say that right, because you guys ain't laughing. But you get the picture. You know, we can say how great we are in these gifts, and yet, you know what? We have to be careful. We have to, like Paul says, we have to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But we got to think soberly, and especially when it comes to spiritual gifts, we got to make sure that we use them properly. Like, I'll tell you, getting involved is so great. I think that's one of the fulfilling parts of my life is when I'm involved with God. See, the more I get involved with God, the more I get involved, the more I do for God, work for God, the closer my old man dies. My old man dies, you know, this old man dies, I should say, right? And I live for God. Now, we have plenty of ministries here. to be involved, for you to be involved in. Or God may have maybe spoke to you about a ministry, and he wants you to step up. He doesn't want you to come to pastor and say, hey, pastor, God told me to tell you that you need to do this. You know, because sometimes I'll get that and I'll say, okay, well, you know, I'll pray about it. And if God wants me to, I'm sure he will tell me personally. But I always say, well, maybe God wants you to do it and he wants us to come alongside of you and help you in doing this. Now, guys, there's a new ministry that I'm trying to get somebody to step up. Maybe you're here this morning. It's called the clock ministry. These clocks here, they run, the batteries get low. And so a lot of times you say, hey, you're always going over, because I'm going by according to that clock right there. And see, that clock is behind. So I need someone to start the clock ministry, where you come in every morning, you make sure that clock is correct, and there's a new battery in it, and therefore I won't go over. I bet you there's going to be a great line of people for that ministry, right? Sign me up. We'll have so many people that you'll probably only have to do it once a year. So again, look what Paul says in verse 4. He says, we are many members in one body, and we do not have the same function. Look at, we've got many members here. Though we're not like thousands or hundreds, but though we are few, yet we are strong. We are one body of Christ. And when I think he says we are many in one body, I think about the whole body of Christ. You know, the whole body of Christ. We're not here to build our church. We're here to build the body of Christ. That's first. And if we can get them into fellowship, that's second. But to build the body of Christ. Paul says we are all one members, you know, of the body here in verse 4. Though we are many in one body, yet we don't have the same function. We don't all do the same things. You guys have gifts that I don't have. I have gifts that you don't have. But we're of the same body. And so because we're of the same body, what are we to use our functions for? Well, look at verse 5. He goes on and says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So the whole purpose of us being one body, one member in Christ, individually members of one another, is to build the body of Christ and to build each other up. That's the purpose of fellowshipping here. I hope that I can build you up, and I want you to build me up. I love when people come up and say, hey, look what the Lord, when you said this, this is what the Lord showed me. Man, that feels good. If I can have one person come to me and say this, pastor, that was great. You ministered to me. Again, I'm going to say, okay, how? I did my job. I just need one. I don't need 10. I don't need 5. I just need one person to say, hey, great service. And I can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now I can run and hide. You know, we're to build the body of Christ. We're to build each other. The gifts that we have are to edify one another, not to edify yourself, not to say, look what I did. Hello. I saw this movie one time, and people were giving, they were having a fundraiser like us, and they were bringing stuff, and this one lady, well-off, wealthy lady, she came in, she goes, hello, everybody, can I have your attention? And everybody stopped what they're doing. He goes, hello, I just want everybody to see what I'm donating for the fundraiser. And she walked in, and it was a pony. And I'm thinking, wow, a pony, okay, there's her, oh, that a boy award. If you walk around and say, hello, look what I did, and people say, wow, that's great, that's your reward. That's all you're going to get. You're just going to get what they call that a boy award. People are going to say, oh, good job. But the Lord's not going to acknowledge that. Now listen to what he says in verse 3. Look at the bottom of verse 3. He says, don't think yourself higher than you ought to think. And the bottom, it says, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So what we are and what the gifts that we have, where do they come from? God. It says that God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. The word faith here in the Greek, in the context of these verses, this verse means he's talking about a working faith. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a working faith. It's talking about what you do with your faith, how we need to exercise the faith that we have. And we can use the faith that God has given us. Use it. Do something with it, guys. Don't just let it fade away. Don't just sit there with faith in God and say, I believe in God, and just let your faith stay like stagnant water. You have to become waves of faith. I'm using that because I came back from Santa Monica Beach yesterday, and we were on the beach, and water was excellent. Waves were great. But, I mean, there's wall-to-wall people everywhere. And I was, like, enjoying myself because there was a lot of weird people out there. I thought I was weird. You know, Santa Monica Pier, if you've never been there, you better go and you better be ready to pray. Because there's a lot of weird people that need prayer. And I was like, I was enjoying myself watching them. But I was praying for them. But there was one guy there. This guy had to have been over 6 foot. He was thin. He was a black gentleman, really dark. And he was buff. And he had no shirt on. He had leather pants. And he was walking around like he owned the whole pier. And he was just screaming and yelling at people. And we're talking wall-to-wall people. And they're all trying to get out of the way of him, you know. And I'm looking at him. And I'm thinking, I'm watching. Even the security guards. Security guards came up. And they were following him at a distance. Three of them. And I thought, they're scared. Obviously, they're not going to confront this guy. They're falling at a distance. The next thing I look at them, they turn around, they went the other way. And I thought, maybe I should go up and talk to this guy. And I said, maybe not. You know, I'll pray for him from a distance, right? Pray for him. But, you know, the word faith means it's a working faith he's talking about. God wants you to use your faith. He doesn't want you to just let it fade away. And the faith that God gives us is for a purpose of using our gifts and using the abilities that God gives a person. Amen. Our faith is to build and to help others, guys. And our faith, it's supposed to give us confidence so that we can use the gifts that he gives us. It gives us confidence. Now, again, Paul, he just goes into some of the spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us. But he doesn't give us all the gifts that are used and using that we have in the body of Christ. And so these are just some of the gifts that he talks about. But again, there's many books that mention other gifts. Look at verse 6. So he goes into the gifts here now. He says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay? He talks about we have different gifts, but they come by the grace of God. And he says, if God gives you a gift, he says, you better use it, right? Because, again, Paul says, use the gifts that God has given you. Now, the word gift here in the Greek, it means charisma. It means that these gifts that God gives us, they're very special abilities that are given to the believers by God. Now, listen. The gifts come from who? They come from who? You know what that tells us? It tells us that what does it tell us? Okay? It tells us that the gifts that you have, that you are so blessed with, that you might be good with, that you love to use, they are not natural talents. You hear that? They're not natural talents. They're not natural abilities. They come from who?
God.
They come from God. And they are given by who? The Spirit of God. And they're for a spiritual purpose. They're not for your purpose, for your abilities. They're given by God and they're for a spiritual purpose. They're given to you for the purpose of fulfilling your calling in life on this planet, not on Mars. Don't wait till you get to heaven. Because you're not even going to need them anymore. You're not even going to need faith when you get to heaven. We're not going to have to live by faith anymore. We're going to live by sight because we're going to see God. Right? Isn't that great? Right now we have to live by faith. But one day we're going to get to heaven. We're going to live by sight because we're going to see Jesus and we're going to be like him. You're going to be perfect. Yeah? Woo! Look at each other and look at each other and say, man, you're going to be perfect one day. Just not right now. I can't wait to be perfect. Finally, Lord, you've given me a neck. Boom. I'm going to be 6 foot, over 6 foot. Right now I'm just an undercover bodybuilder, but I'll be a bodybuilder again, you know. Again, they're for the purpose of fulfilling the calling in your life that God has called you to do. And these gifts, these talents, they're given according to the grace that is given to us. This means that the gifts that you have, you know what? They only come because you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It wasn't until you accepted Jesus Christ in your life that God gave you these gifts. Now look at verse 6 again. I'm going to read it. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Now, I'm going to give you a little description of these gifts. Prophecy. Prophecy is speaking forth the word of God, guys. Prophecy means more than just foretelling. It also means forthtelling. Okay? It means teaching and sharing the word of God. It means declaring the truth. It's like when the words of Christ, I think every time I read the word of God, how, you know, the word of Jesus, it burns within your heart, and you can't but want to share with others. Remember when you first got saved, how you wanted to save the world? How you couldn't wait to go shout it from the rooftops. Well, that should never leave you. Man, I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to save everybody. I was telling everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how I was saved. And when I got rejected, that wasn't a good thing. I had knowledge, but I didn't have the wisdom to apply the knowledge because I thought people were rejecting me. And when they rejected me, I was calling them names. Now, that's not a good testimony. Here I'm sharing, hey, you know Jesus loves you? You, boop. You know? That, you know, that's knowledge, but I didn't have the wisdom to apply, and I didn't realize that they weren't rejecting me, they were rejecting Christ. I wasn't sharing, I had words of salvation, I was sharing Jesus, but I thought they were rejecting me. You know, prophecy means forthtelling, means sharing the word of God. You know, the prophets in the word of God, they were men who proclaimed the word of God, they explained the word of God. We're talking about the living word, guys, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the written word. He was the Holy Scripture. So the gift of prophecy is a gift that's always done, obviously, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, right? When you prophesy, it's always done by the inspiration of God's Spirit. And we're talking about prediction, and we're talking about proclamation. Now, in the Old Testament, when the prophets spoke, they were always proclaiming prediction. They were talking about the past, the future, the present, and the future. And but now, I tell you what, things have changed now because you don't see a lot of that today. Prophecy has changed a lot. We're talking about it's in the Word of God, but when people don't go around prophesying like they did back then. Now, our prophesying is what? It's proclaiming the Word of God. You know, every time you share the Word of God, you are prophesying because you are giving the truth. You are prophesying the word of God. So we all are called to prophesy in the sense that you're sharing the word of God. But if you go around saying, thus saith the Lord, and if it doesn't come true what you say, then the Bible says you are a false prophet. Back then you would be put to death. Obviously you can't do that today. But you know what? If you go around, I had a person that said, hey, I'm a prophet just like the prophets, and thus saith the Lord, and said something that I was doing that was totally off the wall. And looked at me like that they were crazy. Yeah, you are crazy, you know? So you got to be careful. If you're going to prophesy, prophesy the word of God. Share the truth. Share the word of God. Share about Jesus Christ. That's prophecy in itself. And so, again, the gift of prophecy, it's done by the inspiration. It's done through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something, again, we need to know. And that if you want to prophesy about the good news of Jesus Christ, then obviously you're going to have to get to know him first. You're going to have to get to know him better. If you want to tell someone about Jesus, if you don't know anything about him, then how are you going to share about him? You got to have a personal relationship with him. And if you do, then you're going to speak prediction and proclamation. You're going to share the word. You're going to prophesy about Jesus' death, his resurrection, and how he's coming back. So again, it's not just foretelling the future, it's forthtelling the present, what he's doing today in the lives of us, in your life, in the life of the church. And it's all done by Scripture. So prophesy. Go out there and share the word of God. Don't go around and say, hey, I foresee tomorrow there's going to be a big earthquake and California is going to fall into the sea. And I hope it does, because then we'll have beachfront property. We'll be the new Hawaii, right? My back door will be the ocean. All right, that I always wanted that, right? Anyways, look at verse 7. And after prophecy, Paul says, or if your gift is ministering, let us use it in our ministering. The gift of ministry, the word often is used, it talks about being a servant of a person who serves and ministers to others. I think ministry is it's talking about practical ways of serving. That's what ministry is. Ministry is using practical ways, just like Jesus did. Remember when Jesus shared the word of God, he always met their spiritual needs, but he also met their physical needs. He fed them, he clothed them, he healed their bodies. You know, he met that physical needs, and he did it in very practical ways. And I really believe that every one of us have this ministry. We have this gift of ministry. And so the meaning would be this very special ability to serve, to minister. It means to give aid, to help, or to assist others. It means to assist them in such a way that they are built up and they are truly helped. Ministry, guys, is the most practical of all the gifts. And I know a lot of us here, we know people who are always willing and to help others. Those who have the gift to help others when help is needed. I think Pastor Lou is a good example of someone who has the gift of ministry. He helps people in practical ways. Every time someone has a need, a physical need, they go to Lou and he helps them. That's a special ministry. That's a special gift. And I really believe that all of us here, we all have the ability to help someone. You agree? Don't you guys have the ability to help someone? It doesn't matter what it is, but you have that ability. And we can help them in practical ways. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, guys. So ministry simply means serving. Serving others. That's ministry. That's what ministry is all about. If you want to come into the ministry, then you better be ready to serve others. Jesus said to be the servant of all. He said, I didn't come here to be served, but to what? Serve. I didn't come into the ministry to be served. I came into the ministry to serve. And that's what ministry is about. And then he goes on, he says, he who teaches in teaching. So the gift of teaching is what? Teaching is the ability to what? To explain the word of God. To explain and root and ground people in the truth of the word of God. The word of God, it not only needs to be proclaimed by the prophet, but it needs to used to minister through helping others, but it also needs to be explained by the teacher. People need to be guided. They need to be rooted in the word of God. And that's what we're doing this morning. You take the word of God. And I had a brother tell me, hey, man, why do you explain every word that's in the Bible? You know, a mountain or this and this. I said, well, it's called expository teaching. He goes, yeah, but why can't you just like skip things and boom, that's just the way I am. You know, I want to explain. I want to teach the word of God. I want to be able to help others learn the word of God. And so as a teacher, that's the way I am. I just got to go. We're taught to teach the word of God line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept. And I'm sorry if I go through a book in 7 years, you know. There's just so much in it. I mean, you can take, literally, you can take every word in the Bible and you can have a Bible study on it. Even the word a, the word at, the word the, you can build a whole study on it. Obviously, you don't want to do that, though, but I'm just saying you can. And that's what a teacher does. A teacher, they help others. They help people. They guide them and root them in the truth of the Word of God day by day, week by week, year by year. This is the calling of a teacher. And, you know, I pray every day, Lord, please use me to teach others. Use me to minister to the people when I come up here. And I pray that, I hope I do that. I pray that you guys leave here different than when you came in. I pray you don't leave here the same way you came in. And don't look at me. Listen to the Word of God. Don't compare me with somebody else. Put that aside. Put your commentaries. Put your the way other people taught this. And just listen to what I'm saying and see what God speaks to you about. Everybody's different. Everybody's teaching. If God can use a donkey, obviously he can use me. So that's what teaching's about. It's teaching the truth, you know. And you know what? I realized that. I heard a neat saying the other day. It says that people are walking out the back doors of the church almost as fast as they're coming in the front door. And it's all because they're not being rooted and grounded in Christ and how the church needs good, solid teaching. And that is so true. I mean, churches are really getting off the wall nowadays. It is so sad. The body of Christ is really suffering. I know a church now that they're the pastor there. There's three pastors now, and they take turns. And I'm thinking, how does that work? Three every week. It's a different pastor. And what they do is they go through the book, but each pastor takes a different chapter. And I'm thinking, you know, all that's going to do is, again, bring a church back like the Corinthian church. Oh, I'm of this pastor. I'm of that pastor. And I'm of this pastor. Oh, I'm not going to go this week. I'm going to go next week. That's all it does. It brings division. Maybe if it works for them, you know, it's not going to work here, obviously. You're stuck with me. Sorry. That's it. I mean, you can come in the front door, you can leave out the back door, but if you do, you know, you're going to, boop, you know. But so the church needs solid teaching. Look at verse 8. Paul says, and he who exhorts in exhortation. So there's the gift of exhortation. And that's a very special ability in an excitement. A motivation is a gift that gets people excited and motivated and encourage people. It advises people. It comforts people. It gives them this warming in their hearts, because exhortation is the motivation and the encouragement of the people. I think that's a special gift. When you can exhort others, you encourage others. That's what we're called to do. Encourage one another. Exhort them. Don't exhort yourself. Don't say, hey, I did a good job, right? You go up to people, hey, you did a good job. You know, people, I remember that one time a guy came up to me and said, hey, pastor, I just want you to know that was the most boring sermon I've ever heard. I went, thanks. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I just said, thank you. And I left discouraged. I left, man, I was like, man, I didn't want to be around anybody. You know, I wanted to hide. And then the next Sunday, he came back and said, pastor. I'm like, oh, here we go. He said, pastor, I just want you to know that when I got home, I was so convicted by God. And I want to apologize. And I want to say, I'm sorry for saying what I said to you last Sunday. And I said, brother, you didn't think I was boring. You thought the Word of God was boring, because that's all I shared. All I shared was the Word of God. I didn't share anything of myself. That's why you thought it was boring. So I wasn't boring. The Word of God was boring. He said, you're right. You're right. So again, you know what? We got to exhort one another. We got to encourage one another. We got to stir. We have to. Exhortation is the ability to stir people up to what? To make decisions for Christ and to grow in Him. You know, it's the gift that encourages people to get up and get busy and doing, and not just hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. Fulfill your calling in the Lord. Exhort one another. Hey, come on, get involved, brother. Or, you know, if you know somebody who's in sin, you don't want to go over there and you don't want to judge them to condemnation. You just want to exhort them. Say, hey, brother, you know what? Come back to church. You know what? You know what? Jesus died for us. You want to encourage them. You don't want to say, hey, you know what? You're a Christian and you're not a Christian. Look what you're doing. If you're a Christian, then why are you doing that? The world does that. The body of Christ, we need to encourage one another. We need to exhort one another, but we need to confront the sin. But you got to do it in a very very good way of doing it. And so, again, exhortation is a very special ability to excite people, get people excited. I hope I get you excited. I want to get you guys excited in your relationship with the Lord. I'm always saying this. Be creative in your relationship with God. Don't do the same thing over and over again. Don't get into routine. Don't find yourself doing the same thing over and over again. It's like that guy who's living a life, and they're watching it on television, and every day it's the same people, the same thing. They say the same thing. He does the same thing. Oh, Truman. I don't know if you've seen that movie. You don't want a life like that as a Christian. Okay, same routine. You want to be creative, mix things up, do something different. Get excited in your walk with God. And then he goes on, he says after exhortation, look what he says. He says, and he who gives, do it with liberality. Okay, this one's a good one because he's talking about the gift of giving. Now, in the Greek, this simply means the giving of one's earthly possessions, such as money. Oh, I hate that, money. I don't like to preach this because people can get offended or they get caught up thinking, oh, all they want is money. That's a commandment. That's a gift from God. He's talking about your money. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about food. Now, notice this gift. Paul tells us exactly how we're to give. He said you got to give with what? Simplicity. Generosity. And the word is there's several ways of doing this. Because this word, simplicity, it means to give with what? Sincerity. It means to give with simplicity. To give with the singleness of heart without show. Don't go around telling people, look what I gave. It means to give with liberty and generosity. So the point is that God does give the people this special gift. Now, God is a God who blesses us, right? And God does use rich people. There are rich people. I drove through Malibu the other day, and I couldn't believe these houses. I thought they were hotels. I thought they were condominiums. But they're actually homes. Three-story homes on the side of a mountain looking over the beach. And I thought, who lives there? Man, I want to see who lives there. They tell me a lot of actors and live there. I mean, if I lived there, I don't care if people would think I was a gardener. Hey, are you the gardener? I live here. Why do you keep telling me I'm the gardener? I live here. You know, if I lived there, I couldn't live in a three-story house. They were beautiful, but it's all, you can't take it to heaven, right? It's all materialism, you know. But God does use them. And he uses their gift to make money in order to what? To have plenty of it in order to help others and to spread the gospel around the world. That's what he uses it for. But I believe that this gift is a gift that every one of us have. Every one of you have this gift. Because giving is also a form of worshiping the Lord. He commands us to give. You read in the scripture. Read in Malachi. I think it's Malachi. Where he says, God says, test me. Yeah, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing upon you. You can't even contain it. Give to me. Just test me. Watch and see. And I'll fill your vats. I'll fill your barns. It's a commandment. It's a form of worshiping God. And God says if you're going to give, you got to give it sincerely. You got to worship me. And I don't care if you give a dollar. You should be giving something. You don't want this church to fold, right? If you want this church to fold, I mean, we can't do it unless you give, obviously. It's God will provide, but he wants to use us. He wants us to be blessed. I'll tell you what, you can never outgive God. And the purpose of giving is to give it with generosity. And it's to have, so that we can have enough to fulfill the will of God for the world, to reach out, to build the church, to spread the gospel. And that's why Paul said, therefore, they must give generously. Don't hoard your money, guys. It's good to bank it. It's good to store up. But don't misuse what God gives you. He wants us to give to him, guys. And he doesn't want us to give grudgingly. He doesn't want us to give complaining about it. About, man, I have to give. Oh, I used to do that in my early years. Man, do I pay my bills? Do I give to God? I got to pay my bills. And then when I gave, I was like, one time I was giving, and Monique, she was like 7 years old, and I was like, oh, how am I going to pay these bills if I give to the church? I'm thinking, if I give to God, how am I going to pay these bills? And she must have heard me because she walked in with her piggy bank, and she goes, here, I want to give this to you. I said, what's this? He goes, I want to give you this, my money, because I want to help pay the bills. And I'm thinking, no, that's okay. No, here, take piggy back. Take the piggy back. And I looked at Carmen. Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't. Don't hoard it. Don't complain about giving. And don't give to attract that attention, because you want to be honored for what you give. He says when you give, Paul says what you're doing is you're expanding the work of God. Especially when you give it with generosity. You know, when you give, Paul says you do it with liberality. That means you're giving with no strings attached, guys. You know, some people won't give unless they know where the money's going. I don't give unless I know where the money's going. Or they won't give unless it goes here, or if it goes for that, or if you agree to do this. Right? We had a person that came here, and he didn't like where the money was going, so he was coming here for fellowship, but he was giving it to another church. I think, why don't you just go to the other church then? You want to support that church. If you don't want to support your church because you think we're not using it properly, then there's strings attached. And if you have strings attached to your giving, then you're better off not giving. Because you're not giving according to the worship of God. You know, you got to give. It's not according to your standards. If you're giving according to your standards, then don't give that way. He says you got to give with simplicity. And then he goes on, he says, and he who leads, you got to lead with diligence. You know, there's the gift of leading, or it's ruling, but it's governing. This means you, those who have the gift of leadership, they have the abilities of leadership, authority, administration, of government. And again, the Lord tells us how we're to lead. He says, you got to lead with diligence. A leader has to lead with diligence, with haste, with zeal, desire. You got to be concentrated and have attention of what you're doing. I think the downfall of a leader is when they get, lazy, complacent, irresponsible when it comes to the things of God and his people in the church. The pastors and the elders, the deacons, the board members, the leadership of the church, those who are involved in the ministry, we are called to lead by example. We are called to lay that foundation for what? For the flock of God. And we should do it with zeal. We should do it with hard work, with determination. We should lead. And when we lead, that means we need to be in the front. Right? The front of the line. Because you can't be a leader and lead from behind. How are you going to lead from behind? It's like, okay, you're a king. Okay, attack. You guys attack. I'm going to stand right here and watch. Watch you all die. You know? And then if you guys aren't winning, I'm just going to retreat. You know? That's what they did. But the leadership of God, we are the ones who are on the front line. And we say, follow me and let's go. That's what a good leader does. He doesn't lead from behind. You can't. The gifts of ruling and leading, they're done in a decent order, and that order comes from God. Now, I always say this. There's three types of people, guys. Three types of people in the church. Those who watch things happen, those who make things happen, and those who stand around and say, "What in the world happened?" Right? Well, there you go. See, he's going to remember that. Which one are you? And then he goes on, he says, "And he who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness." I think the gift of mercy, this is a person who's full of forgiveness and compassion, pity, kindness towards others. Notice that the merciful person is to show mercy with what? A cheerful heart. The word means he has to be kind. He has to have joy in his life. He has to be cheerful. The person with the gift of mercy, he's not forgiving grudgingly. He doesn't say, "I forgive because I have to." He doesn't say, "You know, I forgive you, but I'm never going to forget what you did." He doesn't hesitate in forgiving others. He's to show mercy. And he's not to do it with the spirit of annoyed spirit or this rotten attitude. He doesn't come and show mercy with the spirit of criticism, with the spirit of rebuke, especially when that person needs help. The believer who has the spirit of mercy is to show mercy with a cheerful and joyful heart, doing all he can to what? To exhort that person, to lift that person up who's in need. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Luke 6, 36, he says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." And then Micah 6, 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So these are the seven gifts that Paul shares with us. And again, there are many gifts that are not mentioned here, but they're used to build the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to end it with this. Again, verse 4, just look at this. It says, "For as many have of many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another." And so in other words, the gifts that we all have, guys, they're to complement one another. They're to encourage and edify one another, to build each other up. And these gifts that Paul mentioned are a list of motivation gifts. I love what John Corson said. He put it great. I mean, it's perfect. Listen to what he said. I'm going to quote him. He says, "Prophecy declares truth. Ministry shows truth. Teaching defines truth. Exhortation develops truth. Giving expands the truth. Leading is living the lives of the truth. And mercy brings cheerfulness from the truth." I think that's perfect. And what is truth, guys? John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's truth. And I want to end with this. I want to have Greg come up real fast. Come on up here, brother. I want Greg to come. Greg, he's been an usher here for a while. Ushers are so important. Ushers, they're the watchmen of the sheep. They're watching you guys to making sure that you're okay, making sure no one attacks me. Though, you know, we're a bunch of old guys. By the time they get up here, I'm going to be dead. You know, we need some young people, okay? But I want him to share being an usher, how that changed his life. Go ahead, brother.
I find it a real honor to come here and serve in this small way. Someone that suffers from depression and anxiety, I had trouble just coming to church initially. But then God is powerful. He can change you, and he's changed me. I look forward to serving. I love it. I love being there at the door greeting people. It's just an honor to be able to do that. And if you feel the calling yourself, you know, pray about it. You may want to do it, you know. And if you do, you decide you want to do it, come and see Pastor or one of the elders and serve. It, like I said, it's an honor to serve. Now that I got you all here, I want to say I love God. And I believe in his son, and I want to be able to tell people that, okay? And in this small way, I'm able to serve here in the church to to do that, okay? This is a house of God. You know that. That's why you come here. And so I just want to tell you, it's really an honor to be able to serve in this small way. God bless you guys.
Amen, brother. Woo. Yes, preach it. That is so awesome. See, that's what it's about to be in the ministry. Use your gifts that you have. We have a lot of ways that you can serve God. I can't do it by myself. You know, it's the same people can't do it themselves. You're called to rise up. And Paul says, the gifts that are given to you, they're given by the grace of God. Use them. Amen.